Hello, Fairhaven. I'm here in Quito, Ecuador with one of our missions teams. 65 doctors and nurses are down here for a medical missions trip. We just actually had a team come back from Guatemala last weekend. And of course, if you were here with us last weekend, you know that we had our Global Impact Weekend where we had Luke and Amy Wong. What a great weekend it was. Starting a brand new series, and the series is entitled, Didn't See That Coming. You know, when I look back over my life, I could give you instance after instance where I just didn't see that coming. And I'm sure you could do the same. If I asked you to just stop for a minute and to write down a few things in your life, I'm sure there would be a whole list. When Kathy and I first came to Dayton, we came straight from Asia. Many of you know that. When we got here, we were setting up life and we were trying to figure out how to get the kids sorted out with all their activities. And we quickly discovered what many of you know, that with a family of six, it's really hard to deal with one car. We needed a second used car, and out of the blue, someone there from the church family gave us a used car. We didn't see that coming. And it was just a great example of what God does for us. And there's many, many more stories. I'm sure you have your own stories. You know, when you read through the book of John, you read the story of Jesus. And in fact, John was writing to unbelievers. John was writing to people who were considering what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. John was writing to people who had just become followers, so they really understood who Jesus was. And when you read through the book of John, oftentimes you see things that happen in Jesus' life and you're like, didn't see that coming. For example, today we're going to talk about the fact that the Word became flesh. God became human. We didn't see that coming. John chapter 1, verse 14. I want to focus on a couple of these verses here. The Word became flesh. God put skin on. Didn't see that coming. He wanted to be one of us. He came to reach us. He came to our experience. He met us where we are. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Drop down to verse 16. Out of His fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made Himself known. Jesus, who existed before all of time, Jesus, who is with God the Father, Jesus, who is in the closest relationship, put skin on, and the Word became flesh. What an amazing reality. See, the question is, why? Why would God do this? Why is this important to us? What does this mean for us? I want to mention four things of why this is so important, and we find it in verses 14 through 18. In verse 14, if you look there with me, it says, and the Word became flesh, and He made His dwelling among us. The word dwelling means tent. It's as if that God set up a tent in our lives. It's as if God said, I want to be with you. It's as if God said, you know, I want you to know that I'm there, and I want to set up a tent in your life. Here's the first reason why the Word became flesh, because God wants to be on familiar terms with us. He wants to know us in a way that is so personal. You know, many times when you think of a tent, you think of something that's very temporary. You know, you go hiking or you go camping, and I don't know if many of you do that, but if you do, you know, you set up your tent and then you pick up your tent and you go somewhere else. And in fact, there's scholars that have often debated about the fact that Jesus says this because he really means that I'll only be here for a little while, I'll be here for 33 years, and then he's going to take up his tent, and as we know, he's going to ascend into heaven and be seated at the right hand of the Father. That's a little confusing, though, because when you read Revelation, it says that in the new heaven and the new earth, that God is going to dwell with us, that he's going to build a tent with us. So that can't be true there, because we're going to be with him forever. It's as if God was building a tent in your backyard. You know, if I built a tent in your backyard, and I had to use the restroom, and I kept walking through your kitchen to use the restroom, or I kept walking through your kitchen to get a glass of water, and as I was walking through the kitchen and through the, you know, your dining room there, and seeing you there in the house, and all of a sudden we would get on very familiar terms. It's pretty incredible when you begin to think about that. It's exactly what happened here in Quito. As we've had people from Fairhaven come down to Quito, we're actually staying in the homes of the people in the church, and we become very familiar with them. We've, in a sense, pitched a tent in their houses. We've set up and we've been, you know, living with them for this week, and we're having meals with them, and we're kind of rushing in and rushing out because we got to get to the clinics early in the morning, and we've got things that we have to do in the evening, and there's special dinners that we have, and every once in a while we do get to have dinner with our host families, which is really awesome. But you know, the reality is we've become very familiar with them because we're staying in their homes. We become familiar with them because we're actually living in their homes for this week. It'd be totally different if we were staying in a hotel and we would meet them during the day and maybe, you know, have lunch with them. It's not the same. And that's exactly what God did. See, God wanted a familiar relationship with us. He wanted it to be personal. He didn't just want us to know him from a distance. And so it says the Word became flesh. Didn't see that coming. That God is a God who loves every one of us so much that he wants to pitch a tent in your backyard. Imagine how you would live your life differently knowing that God is pitching a tent in your backyard, in your porch, or in your condo development. You know, you just think about the imagery of that. Man, it changes a whole lot in our lives. The second reason why God did this, why the Word, Jesus, the Logos, why Jesus became flesh, why God put skin on, the second reason is found in the second part of verse 14. I know you have your Bibles open. Let's take a look at it. It says, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." See, the second reason that God did this, the second reason why Jesus put skin on, is because we can watch God more closely. So that you and I can watch God more closely. You know, when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you get the story of Jesus. And you get to see how Jesus lived his life as a human man, still being God. He lived his life, and he lived his life among people, and we get to watch him up close. Now, we don't have that benefit, but we have the benefit of the record of that through the Bible, and we get to watch God up so closely because we get to see how he related to people. We get to see how he dealt with criticism. We get to see how he dealt with people who hated him. We get to see and how he handled suffering in his life. We get to see how he handled humility and how he really, really loved people in life. We get to watch all of that. It's pretty incredible. Think of it this way. If somebody builds a tent in your backyard, not only are they going to become familiar with you, but they're going to be able to watch you, and you're going to be able to watch them. You know, I think of the days when my sons were in wrestling. And it's interesting, a parent often thinks that when they go to the wrestling meet, that they're actually watching their kids. And in fact, you are. You're watching your kids. You're there. You're engaged, screaming maybe even during the whole incident. But do you realize that our kids are watching us as much as we're watching them? It's so important for us to be there at their ballets, at their plays, at their sporting events, at things that are important to them, not only because as parents we want to watch them, but because they want to watch us. They want to watch how we respond to things. They want to watch how we respond to them. This is a very important thing. And this is what we have to capture here. We have seen His glory. In other words, we can watch God up close and the glory of who God is and how He handles situations and people and circumstances. We can watch it up close. That's why God put flesh on. That's why it says, and the Word became flesh. Didn't see that coming, and yet it was so important for us. You know, there's a difference between knowing facts about someone than knowing them personally. I tell you lots of stories about my boys, my sons, men. And you know, the more stories I tell, the more facts you have about them. But just because I tell you about my four sons doesn't mean you know them. We can know all the facts about God and still not know God. See, God put skin on because He wanted us to know Him personally. He wanted to be up close and personal so that we could watch. And of course, we watch through the stories, and that's so very important. Look at verse 17. It gives us the third reason why the Word became flesh. It says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." The third reason why God did this is so He could demonstrate grace for us. God wanted to demonstrate grace for us. See, John was very clear that the law was given through Moses, that God gives us a law. And the law is not because it's a list of things that we have to do in order to please God or in order for God to love us. The law was given because God wanted us to live our lives in a way that made the most sense and the way that would honor Him. And so He gave us this law. And the problem with the law is if you broke the law, then there was a penalty and there was consequences. And there still are. But with Jesus Christ, there's grace. And there's the opportunity that even in the law, you experience grace. And so what He's saying here is that Jesus is the fulfillment of that law, that God gave us this law through Moses, and then because of Jesus' coming, grace was added to that, and so you can see grace in the law, and you can see grace in Jesus, and they both go hand in hand. He wasn't saying that the law of Moses didn't have grace in it. He wasn't saying that the law of Moses didn't have truth in it. What He's saying is that because the Word became flesh, God demonstrated that grace in our lives. You know, while I was down here in Quito, my wife and I, we got a phone call. And there was a little bit of a problem with one of our sons at school. And it wasn't a serious problem, but it was a problem. And one of my oldest sons is staying with them, and he's being a big brother to the guys. And it's just great. He's doing a great job. I got a phone call one evening while we were down here. Something happened to school. And so I said, well, let me talk to the teacher. Let me talk to the principal. My son said, you know, Dad, I got this. I'll take care of this. I'll go and I'll sort this out. Let me do it. I'm here. Let me do it. And, you know, I got thinking, it's really hard to take care of something that happens in a school when you're thousands of miles away. It's hard to interact with my son and really show him grace over the phone. It's hard to do it through texting as we've texted back and forth, not having any cell service. It was my son being there which he offered grace to his younger brother. He did a great job. It's exactly what God did. He wanted Jesus to be the demonstration of grace in our lives. Fairhaven, how many of you there at Springboro need grace in your life? Guess is all of you. Northmont, how about you? Centerville? I'm sure we all need it. I'm here in Ecuador, and you know what I know about the church behind me? They all need grace. And so Jesus shows up, puts skin on, because he wanted to demonstrate. God didn't just want to talk about grace. He wanted to actually demonstrate what it looks like so that you and I could feel grace and see it and experience it. You know, when you put your arm around your son or daughter and you say, you shouldn't have done that, but you know what? I still love you and we'll get through this. That's grace. You know, when husbands, you put your arm around your wife and you say, you know what? I didn't mean to say that. And that's not where we wanted to go here. And can I just roll that back? And can I tell you I'm really sorry? And then you begin a new journey in a sense, and grace flows in. And you know, you have a friend, and you know, your friends are getting together and there's something that happens and there's a misunderstanding and somebody says something to somebody else and you sit down at lunch and you sort it out and you communicate to them because you're there and you say, you know what, I didn't mean for that to happen. Let's not let this go any further. And you let grace pour in. You know, you're at the workplace and something happens with a coworker. As a Christ follower, when you take the first step and you sort it out and you work through it and you engage, you know, in a way that really can help bring some calm and bring some semblance of the fact that, you know what, we may not have all the answers. We may not be able to completely sort this out, but we don't have to keep making this a problem. And grace flows in. So powerful. And yet grace is so hard from a distance. It was so hard for us, Kathy and I, as we're thinking about our son, who I know he didn't want that to happen at school. It happened, and yet his older brother was there. He was there in flesh and blood. And the Word became flesh. Didn't see that coming. And yet it was so powerful because of grace. So let's look at verse 18. It says, no one has ever seen God. In other words, God is invisible. And that's the fourth reason why the Word became flesh, because God is invisible. We can't see Him. And apparently it's important for us. It's amazing how, as human beings, when we can't see something, we almost deny its existence. I mean, oftentimes somebody will say something and we'll say, well, show me. You know, you don't buy a house unless you go and you look at the house, you see the house. You don't buy a car sight unseen. You need to see it. You don't go to the store and just, you know, go up to the counter and say, I want something and just, would you just put it in my car? No, you go and look for it. You shop for it. You look at different, you know, items and you look at different brands and you see it. It's true in relationships. You know how hard a long distance relationship is? Kathy and I did that for a while. I was in California. She was in New York. And there's something about a relationship where you can't see the individual. You can communicate love through the phone. That's hard to do. You can communicate love through letters and through gifts and so forth. But there's nothing like skin on skin. There's nothing like being there together because you can see them and you can actually visualize them. We were wired that way. You know, Russia was the first one into space. His name was Yuri Gagarin. He was a cosmonaut, and when he got into space, he made a comment that has rung throughout all of history, and he said these words. He said, I don't see any God out there, because God was invisible. And just because we can't see Him doesn't mean He's there, but God knows that we often deny what we can't see. And so it was so important for us to see Him. And that's why all through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have all these different accounts of stories of people seeing Jesus and witnessing this and seeing that. And there's actually numbers attached to it, so we know exactly how many people saw Jesus after the resurrection. We see disciples and the numbers that are there and how they saw this. And there are people that saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. And there's accounts where Jesus actually healed Peter's mother-in-law. They saw Him. See, the reason that God did this is because God is invisible. And He knows that we need to see. And so what a great gift to us. The Word became flesh. I want you in verse 14 to underline that. And the Word became flesh. Because I'm sure you've heard this. If you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard these words. You've probably heard them at Christmas. You've heard them at different seasons of your life when maybe you've heard a message about this. But you know what? There's so much in these words, and the Word became flesh. This is not a metaphor. This is not some parable that John is talking about. This is not some story. This is real life, that God sent His Son Jesus to come into this world so that you and I could experience things in our lives because He was there with us. So I got thinking about this. I got thinking about traveling. And I love to travel. Kathy and I love to travel. And I'm sure many of you travel. And you know, when you travel places, what you have to do is you have to take your suitcase and you have to put things in it, or your bag, you have to put things in it. But you know, part of packing is making the decision of what you're not going to take. How many of you have ever overpacked for a trip, right? Many of us do. And the hard part is choosing the things that you're not going to take. Think about that in reference to God. The Word became flesh. God packed Himself into a human body. Let me give you a little theology. It's kind of big words and so forth, but they're really important for us. Do you know that there are incommunicable attributes of God? Meaning these are attributes that only belong to God. And then there are communicable attributes of God, or attributes that you and I can possess. There are attributes of God that only God will ever have. And then there are attributes of God that we are to emulate. That's why we often say, I want to become more like Jesus. We're trying to become the attributes of Jesus. But there are attributes that we could never possess. And we call them incommunicable attributes. Let me give you a few of them, and then let's think this through a little bit. Holiness, meaning without sin. That's an attribute of God. Immutability, meaning that God can never change. Doesn't mean He doesn't change His mind. Doesn't mean He doesn't change situations. It means that the character of God will never change. Infinite. In other words, God is without measure of time. He is forever. Jesus didn't begin life on earth. He was before all of eternity, and He will be in all of eternity. There was a moment of time of 33 years where the Word became, where Jesus became flesh. Omnipotence, meaning that God has the capability and the power to do anything. That's an attribute of God. Omnipresence, meaning that there is no place that God can't go. You can't go anywhere where the presence of God is not there. That's a scary thought, right? Omniscience, meaning that God knows everything. He knows what you're thinking now. He knows what you're going to think tomorrow. That's pretty amazing. Self-existence, that God is not dependent on anything. Self-sufficiency, meaning that God needs nothing outside of Himself. Sovereign, meaning that He has the absolute right to do whatever He wants. He is spirit. In other words, He is an immaterial being. He is without physical characteristics. He is unique because God is God alone. Now, I want you to think about those for just a minute, because God packed Jesus into humanity. He was a baby. Did Jesus have any needs in His life? Of course He did. He was dependent on a mom. He was dependent on a father to teach Him things. He was dependent on His friends. He fell, probably skinned His knee. He probably got a cold. He probably had a few disappointments in middle school. He probably had some people in the neighborhood who just didn't like Him. There were some things that had to be left out, like self-sufficiency, meaning that God doesn't need anything outside of Himself. Well, omnipresence. Jesus couldn't be everywhere at the same time. He was all-knowing, but He couldn't be everywhere at the same time. So God packs Jesus into human life, into human skin. Jesus never ceased to be God. But there were moments in Jesus' life where he was not self-sufficient. He was dependent on his mom and dad. He was dependent on other people. Jesus, being human, was not omnipresent. He couldn't be everywhere at the same time. You see, when Lazarus died, Jesus was not in town. There were some reasons for that, but he was not in town. He waited until Lazarus died so that he could come and actually raise Lazarus from the dead. He couldn't be two places at one time. You see how God took Jesus and packed him into a human body. Though he never ceased to be God, there were attributes that he was willing to lay aside. That's how far God went for you and for me. The Word became flesh. Here's what that means. It means that God likes us and wants us to know him. Now you might be thinking, wait. God loves us, you mean? Well, that's a given. I mean, God is love, so he loves you regardless. Is it possible to love somebody and not to like them? How many agree with me that it's possible to love someone and not like them? See, the reason why God put Jesus into human skin, the Word became flesh, is because God likes you. He likes me, and he wants us to know him. And so he came to our turf. He pitched a tent in our lives because he likes us. You are likable by God, and he wants you to know him. If you get your mind around that, that's worth coming today, to realize that God likes you. Not only loves you, but he likes you. And that's a powerful thing. The Word became flesh means if Jesus didn't become human, we would know less of God. Because the Bible tells us that we can know of God through nature and through creation. I mean, if you had the opportunity to come here to Quito, there's some beautiful landscape here. You're at high altitude, so it's really hard to get around and to run because, you know, at high altitudes, you get out of breath pretty quickly. Even walking a flight of stairs is quite amazing. But you can know God through nature. In fact, it even says in the Bible that we can know God through our conscience. But that's not very clear. And that's why God sent Jesus. The Word became flesh so that we would know more about God. So what does this mean? What does this mean for you? What does this mean for me? Two things I want to close with that are really, really important. And if you miss everything else, don't miss this. This is the reason that God sent Jesus to put skin on. This means that God is real and he can be real to you. Do you realize that in your life, if God seems less real to you, it's because you and I lose track of the fact that he likes us and wants us to know him. We lose track of the fact that he's actually pitching a tent in your backyard. He's pitching a tent in your living room. He did that because he wants us to know him. God is real. He's so real that he can give you the strength to live through whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life. He's so real that your life can be changed from the inside out. Right over here in this building, there was a lady that came one day, a grandmother. She came with her granddaughter. She brought her films with her because she had some x-rays and MRIs done. And she came over here to the clinic, and one of the doctors was there, and she already knew, but she wanted it to be confirmed because the doctors here in Ecuador apparently weren't honest with her and didn't tell her the whole truth about where she was at in her health. So the docs that came down from Dayton looked at the film, and they kind of got their heads together and realized this woman is filled with cancer. She was dying. So I was here working with a couple of people, and all of a sudden I got this person that ran up and said, "Hey, you need to come over here. One of the doctors needs to see you." And I thought, well, why would he need to see me? I mean, I can't help these guys. And so I said, okay. So I ran to the room where the doctor was, and he looked at me and he says, "Would you take this grandmother and this granddaughter, would you go talk to them?" And I said, "Sure, I'd be glad to." So we walked out of the room. And as we walked out of the room, the doc said, "Hey, let me talk to you for a second." So I walked back into the room, and he said, The grandmother is dying. She has very, very few months left. That's why she needs somebody to talk to. I took her in. The sanctuary is right behind me here. I took her in and I sat her down. And I said, do you really know what's going on in your life? And she says, not really. And I said, what did the doctor just tell you? She said, well, the doctor told me I was dying. And I had to look this grandmother in the eyes. And I said, you're dying. You only have a few months left. And I looked at the granddaughter, and through a translator, I said to her, do you realize that your grandmother is dying? And she began to cry. And as I looked at the grandmother again through a translator, I asked her, I said, do you know that death is not the end? And she says, you mean there's something after this for me? And I said, absolutely. And I began to share with her who Jesus was. I began to share with her the reality of the fact that death in this life is only a moment. There's something far better beyond it. Now, I don't think any one of us want to die, but here's what I do know. When we do die, we want to know what's next. And so as I began talking with this grandmother, I asked her, I said, are you interested in knowing Jesus in your life? And she said, yes. And that day I had the opportunity to pray with this grandmother and with this granddaughter as both of them invited Jesus into their life, because what they realized that day is that God is real and He can be real to you. He was real to that grandmother. She was crying, and in the tears, you could almost see two different tears. They were certainly tears of sorrow as she was grieving about her life. But she was a very elderly woman. She had lived a long life. She was happy. And then there were tears of joy because she knew that this isn't it. And she was going to see her granddaughter again one day. You see, God is real. Jesus is real. And that's why, as we think of these words, and the Word became flesh, that's what it means for you and I. That God is real. See, secondly, I would say that He came because He wants to meet our needs. Jesus wants to meet our needs, whatever your needs are. When you read the story of Jesus, you see that He healed, you see that He comforted, you see that He challenged, you see that He defended people, you see that He died for people. He wants to meet your need. And the Word became flesh. Because Jesus wanted to prove that He wants to meet your needs. What are your needs today? Jesus wants to meet those needs. See, when you hear the words, well, Jesus is the answer, my guess is many of you have heard that. That's a reality. Because Jesus wants to meet our needs. And I know He wants to meet your needs today, whatever that is. Maybe today you need to be defended. Maybe today you need to be challenged to make a change in your life. Maybe today you need to be comforted. Maybe today you need healing of some sort in your life. Maybe today you need to realize the death of Jesus by inviting Him into your life, like that grandmother. Would you bow with me? Father, we just thank You that You sent Your Son Jesus, that the Word became flesh. You are real. You want us to know You. We thank You that You like us and that You want us to know You. Thank You, Father, that You came and You gave us an example of the fact that You want to meet our needs. I pray, Father, for all of us today, Springboro and Northmont and Centerville, that You would meet our needs today, specifically and individually, to all those that are here. Father, we thank You that we can trust You and that You loved us enough that You packed Yourself in to a human body. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.